Hi, this is Don Dingy for Embedded Computing Design. I'm fresh back from CES 2010, a show I prefer to call the Consumer Embedded Show, because for all the 3D TVs and e-readers and Pico projectors and social networking devices and everything else, there's a ton of embedded technology at work. We heard about some of the exciting things going on in HDMI from Steve Venuti, president of HDMI Licensing LLC.
Well, we're with the HDMI Licensing LLC. We're the consortium that manages the standard. And what we're seeing at CES is a lot of the 1.4 new specification that we launched in June being implemented now in products. So we're seeing a lot of the features that we announced in June over the last 6 months. These manufacturers have developed these products. What we're going to see, I think, is a lot of 3D. So HDMI set a bar in terms of how 3D might be implemented and transported over the digital link. Now CES, and we saw it a little bit last year, we're going to see a lot of the major brands announcing their 3D implementations. Audio return channel is something we're going to see. The Ethernet channel, we'll even see implementations of 4K source devices that are going to upscale to 4K and send over HDMI. So those are some of the major features that we've seen. We got a very small micro, the size of a micro USB connector, which is our micro HDMI. We'll see that implemented on some portable devices as well as cell phones that are going to start implementing HDMI.
Xilinx has an entire consumer marketing effort, and we heard from Aaron Bayman, Senior Marketing Manager, on what's going on in that area.
Xilinx is expanding the programmable imperative through the targeted design platform to now focus on the consumer space. And we've developed the consumer digital TV display solution. This is a targeted design platform which is based on Spartan 6, and it allows customers in the high definition television space to focus on perfecting algorithms and not have to worry about integrating the latest interfaces. We now have IP that's been developed that implements V x 1 HS display port, HDMI, and high-speed LVDS, so that you can not have to worry about getting standard interfaces integrated into your design, and focus really on, again, perfecting video algorithms, be it dynamic backlight control for LED television, be it 3D TV.
Android is definitely one of the hottest topics at this year's show. Kevin Kitagawa, Director of Strategic Marketing for MIPS Technologies, showed us that it's in more than just mobile phones.
The KDDI R&D labs and ADCOM, okay, in Japan, really turned basically Android to really be a viable platform for the digital home. If you look at this, Android being very, very smartphone focused, you usually interface this with a touchscreen. Okay, so if you look at the UI, very, very smartphone focused. Now, okay, what you'll find is actually a very, very, you know, big screen, you know, type thing, where you can access things like digital broadcast, terrestrial digital broadcast, satellite. Okay, IPTV, okay, video on demand. So it really provides that functionality, okay, from that set-top box was, you know, all basically running as an Android application. So it brings the power of an open platform like Android to a previously closed, type system like a set-top box. What Android does is, because it is a virtualized platform and it actually plays in its own little sandbox, there's no fear of really downloading applications there, having them run, okay, and the fear is no longer there in terms of having those applications access or being able to access the conditional access piece, as an example, for a set-top box. Okay. In addition, also, because of the way that's architected, if an application crashes, it doesn't take down the whole box.
Mobile device power is important, but so is getting quality video. Brian Faith, Vice President of Solutions Marketing for QuickLogic, shows us how they can get great video with low power.
And inside this MID is a CSSP that has V in it. So this is a movie that you might be playing on your MID. Now the backlight is set at almost 100%. We'll put it up to 100. V is not active. And you can see that the video is somewhat dark. You can't see details in the shadows or colors. So what I'll do is I'll turn V on, And now you can see more of the colors. You can see the reds. You can see all the way down the street. And this is a very common use case for MID of video or mobile TV.
Okay.
So that's at the full backlight. But another thing you might want to do is turn down the backlight to save power. So you can see that if V is off and you turn down your backlight to save power, this is almost unviewable. Right? Now we'll activate V. And again, you see the colors and the details again. And now you're also saving power at the same time. So it's a great technology for mobile multimedia.
Our processors are also everywhere in the home, and Frank Kruzienski, Segment Marketing Manager for ARM, walked us through a few examples.
We currently have NXP supplying, NTI supplying SoCs into the set-top box area. We already have MediaTek and Samsung already using ARM-powered devices for the digital TV area. And as we progress in the next year and the years beyond, we're going to be adding additional capabilities or additional organizations that are going to be competing for home devices. LG, the likes of NECEL, NEC Electronics, they're going after all of these home devices in which there's going to be more power efficient and high performance processing needed for the connected home.
With all the hype around 3D TV, it's interesting to find out that the entertainment industry is working on it as well. Here's KC Blake from the Entertainment Technology Center at USC.
We bring together the major Hollywood studios and a bunch of different consumer electronics companies and also the film services companies to work on bringing solutions, working together on bringing solutions to the consumer on how to deliver and receive content in the home. And one of our big projects right now is working with the studios on 3D. At the Entertainment Technology Center, we have the 3D Consumer Experience Lab. It's probably one of the largest collections of 3D displays and technologies available right now from all the major manufacturers. And there, the kinds of issues we're talking about there are dealing with different format issues, also health issues related to 3D. We're looking into are there any health issues related to viewing 3D. Also looking at how to educate consumers on how well they can see 3D. A lot of consumers, like they estimate 20% of the population has minimal 3D capability to view. So a lot of times when you read blogs about, oh, I went and saw the movie and I don't really see the big deal about 3D. Well, perhaps that's someone who doesn't have an acuity for 3D depth. That doesn't mean they can't see depth, but it just means that they're not as attuned to it as other people. So those are some of the issues we're talking about. Also, we look at different delivery formats, and we also run what we call a sandbox, where we test different devices together. So if you start out with a delivery of an animated feature, and then how are you delivering that? Are you delivering it over, under, or side by side compression, or checkerboard compression, or full 1080 each eye? Are you viewing it on a polarized screen, an active shutter screen? Are you viewing it or are you viewing auto stereo? What kinds of glasses are you using? Those are the things that we test in the lab.
Speaking of entertainment, this device found me, and I found it interesting because it has RFID and Zigbee at work in a gaming robot. Here's Ashley Siswick from Robonica.
So this is Robonia. It is a high-tech programmable gaming robot, and you can do a number of things with it. You can actually play physical games, excuse me. It comes bundled with seven. There's three multiplayer and four single-player games. And an example of one is actually robotic soccer. The Robonia has a scoop mechanism on the underside, and all these little holes on the underside are actually RFID sensors. So there's a little yellow ball floating around, and that actually has an RFID chip in it. So when your robot drives over it, scoops it up, it'll recognize that you have it. You bring it back to your little base station, which is like a home base for the robot, pretty much. And that's how you score goals, pretty much. But in the process, all these accessories that you see on the floor, all these like colored discs, actually act as weapons. And the numbers on them correspond to how many bullets you pick up when you drive over them. So you can shoot your opponent, disable them for like a matter of seconds, and then grab the ball away from them and go and score, which is really neat. So that's one example. And then you can also physically plug in your robot to a computer using a USB cable and program every facet from its reflexes, behavior, to even all the accessories and how it interacts with those as well. And then the third component is the online world. You can access also by plugging your robot in. And you drive around using your remote and some of the arrow keys, which is great. And in that online world, it's a lunar landscape. There's buildings. You can drive in, play mini games against your friends. And the better you get, you can actually download better weapons to your robot and then use them back in physical gameplay. So it closes that loop between physical and virtual, which is really amazing.
There's a group using wiring in every home to deliver better multimedia experience. Here's Matt Thiel of the Home Grid Forum.
Home Grid Forum is an organization that was set up to support the ITU-T G.HN technology, which is a home networking technology that allows data, video, and audio to be sent over any wire in the house, so coax, phone lines, and power lines. The specification has been in development since 2006. It's pretty much done now, and for the first time here at the CES show, we are giving the first demonstration of G.HN technology. So in this demo, we're showing packets being transmitted over phone lines, coax, and power lines.
We got some thoughts on the consumer wireless experience from Amir Faintuk, Vice President and General Manager of Atheros.
So connectivity 2.0 means that you would see connectivity floating around from multiple devices in multiple locations, outdoor, indoor, consumer electronics, and some dumb devices, static devices. You would have some static devices like wall-enabled devices that people are just putting there. You have mobile. All of them, you can enable it like the connectivity smart grid of the home. Okay? So that's where it's going. And I think Atheros is really poised to take advantage of it with the assets. We have to be nimble and very humble to try to understand how we, as people, we're going to use it. Apple did a very nice, a day class for everyone, because they didn't look into the technical spec, they look into the way people are operating devices.
This next company is usually thought of for graphics, but they're also into mobile connectivity. Here's Tony King-Smith, VP of Marketing for Imagination Technologies.
So what we've got here is the Insigma Communications technology. This is a multi-standard engine which enables you to do all of the terrestrial TV standards, mobile TV standards, digital radio standards, FM radio. And now what we're showing here for the first time is the third generation of this. We've added a transmit path to this, so now we can do all the connectivity standards. And we're showing here firstly 802.11a, b, and g. This will be extending to 802.11n, Bluetooth, and many other connectivity standards going on. And this is, we believe, what we need, where more and more mobile platforms are needing a much broader way of standards than any sort of combo device is going to solve. This engine is also very programmable, so you can add new standards to an existing engine. This is what people need, so that as things come through a development cycle, that the new standards can be updated and the existing standards can even be improved and tweaked. So we believe the programmable communications engine, or the term we're using, is an RPU, a radio processing unit, is the sort of next wave of where connectivity and communications processes are going to be, and our Insigma UCCP platform is our offering in this area.
And there's the idea of delivering mobile TV to everybody's mobile device. Here's Dave Arland of the Open Mobile Video Coalition.
We're very excited here at CES because we have more than a dozen companies introducing new products that work with the new mobile digital television standard that was just adopted by the Advanced Television Systems Committee back in October. So we've had about 12 weeks of real heavy development time, already a whole fleet of products that are going to come out, everything from USB receivers that plug into existing laptops to netbook receivers to mobile digital television sets that are also DVD players, even a Wi-Fi access point that lets you receive mobile DTV and then send that via Wi-Fi to your iPhone or BlackBerry. all of these new products are coming as broadcasters are beginning to plug in this new service on their transmitters. We've got about 30 broadcasters around America so far who are sending these signals, and many hundreds more to come.
Ford's announcement of how they're enabling the connected experience in the car was very exciting at the show. Steve Dearden, Vice President of Solution Sales for B Square, talks about how they enable the solution.
In Alan Mulally's keynote speech this morning, he basically introduced the new Ford Sync and was talking about where the technology is going and the kinds of things that that they're doing with minimizing driver distraction and integrating all the devices and information and so on that the driver brings into the vehicle in the first place. So we've been working with Ford for the last couple of years on this program and providing the lead engineering services for all the way from the hardware through all the middleware, the user interface, and integration of all the other third-party components like the Telenav, BraceNode, all those kinds of components too.
Smart grid and home automation is also an important topic. Here's Jeffrey Schultz, principal systems architect for Silverpack, on their solution.
We're developing the Silverstat 7, which is going to be a new high-end thermostat with links to the smart energy grid. The thermostat has all the same basic functions that you would find in any normal thermostat, including the ability of scheduling, like 7-day programmable, that sort of thing. Setbacks, load sheds, that sort of, the various things that you would typically find. You tie that in with a monitor that allows you to look at the current energy that's being used. We have the monitoring equipment that allows you to view electric usage, your gas, and your water usage. From those, you can go into a specific histogram that shows you what your peak usage hours and that sort of thing. You can use that to schedule then air conditioning usage, say at certain peak hours. I want to cut back my heating temperature or increase the cooling temperature, so we're saving some money on that. There's not that many things that you can shed in the house, but air conditioning is one, and it certainly is one of the major offenders. From there, you could even go further. You can zoom into individual rooms and view the power at each room level. So now you're looking for what room is the one drawing the most power. What's the big offender? From there, you can zoom right down into a list of all the outlets and appliances and light switches and everything that's in there and look to see which particular device is the offender drawing the most power.
So now maybe you can see why I call this the Consumer Embedded Show. There's always an embedded twist. You can find out more about these and other technologies that embedded designers are working with today on our website at embedded-computing.com, which has a brand new look for 2010. Also, be sure to subscribe to our print issue and our e-letters, and use our other resources such as eCasts, white papers, and videos. Thanks for listening. This is Don Dingy saying, find something good, build something better, and help someone be happy today. Take care.